Part 3. The Great Mistake. It was Christmas Eve. The carriages were ready in the courtyard at Hartfield, and Emma travelled in the second one with Mr. John Knightley. It was already beginning to snow. At the vicarage, Mr. Elton joined them. He seemed extremely happy. She did not understand. His loved one was ill. They entered Randall's. Mr. Weston was talking about Mr. Frank Churchill. Emma found that the name had a strange effect on her feelings. She was inexplicably excited. Frank would visit Highbury in January. Emma had never met Frank Churchill, but she had frequently thought that, if she ever married, he was the most suitable person in age, character, and social position. Their families were connected. He seemed to belong to her.
"We are not sure that Frank will come,"
said Mrs. Weston later.
"His aunt may refuse to allow him. The Churchills think that the Westons are below them."
"You told me that he was in Weymouth in the autumn. Then surely he can find time to visit his father,"
said Emma.
"He is his aunt's favourite. She will find a way to keep him in Yorkshire."
Standing beside her, Mr. Elton began talking to Emma.
"You must promise me, Miss Woodhouse, not to see Harriet again until she is well. You must not put yourself in danger of becoming ill yourself. Don't you agree with me, Mrs. Weston?"
Emma gave him an angry look. He was talking as if he had the right of first interest in her. At that moment, Mr. John Knightley came into the room.
"There is a snowstorm outside. The roads may be blocked. We may not be able to get back tonight."
"Oh, the poor horses! What shall we do, my dear Emma?"
cried Mr. Woodhouse.
"My children are at Hartfield," said Isabella.
Mr. Knightley had kept calm. He went out to examine the road and returned.
"There is no difficulty,"
he reported.
"There is very little snow on the ground, and the clouds are already clearing."
But Mr. Woodhouse was so worried that they decided to leave immediately. They all went out to the carriages. Mr. Woodhouse and Isabella got in the first carriage. In the confusion, Mr. John Knightley joined them, forgetting that he was travelling with Emma. She got in the second carriage and found Mr. Elton following her. The coachman shut the door. They were alone together. And Mr. Elton had been drinking Mr. Weston's red wine. As soon as the carriage passed through the gates, Mr. Elton seized her hand.
"You know that I love you. I am ready to die for you. Please accept me as your husband."
"I am very much astonished, Mr. Elton. You are in love with Miss Smith. How can you say these words to me?"
"Miss Smith? I have never been interested in Miss Smith. It is you I love, dear Miss Woodhouse. Say that you will marry me."
"For the past month, you have been courting Miss Smith. You took her portrait to London. You wrote a riddle for her. You visited her at Hartfield constantly. This is very bad behaviour, Mr. Elton."
"Good heavens!"
cried Mr. Elton.
"I never ever thought of Miss Smith. She is a penniless orphan. Everything I have said and done has been for you. I am sure that you understood."
Emma was coldly silent. But Mr. Elton tried to seize her hand again.
"Charming Miss Woodhouse, do not be shy. Confess that you return my affections."
"No, sir,"
cried Emma.
"I have always thought that you loved my friend. I could never consider marrying you."
Mr. Elton was silent. He sat angrily in his corner of the carriage, while Emma sat angrily in hers. The carriage went slowly through the snow. The journey was like torture for them. Mr. Elton jumped out as soon as they arrived at the vicarage.
"Good night,"
said Emma.
"Good night,"
he replied coldly and proudly. The carriage drove on to Hartfield. Emma was feeling very miserable.
How shall I tell Harriet? I have been only half a friend to her.
Isabella and John returned to London soon after Christmas. Mr. Elton wrote to Mr. Woodhouse,
I am going to Bath for a few weeks to spend some time with friends.
Harriet, of course, was heartbroken. There was more bad news. Frank Churchill wrote that he could not come to Highbury.
My aunt cannot spare me.
Mr. Knightley was furious.
He must be a very proud, selfish young man to treat his father in this way.
But he depends on the Churchills. You are independent. You cannot understand his situation. When he finally comes to Hartfield, I shall welcome him. We do not often see fine young men, well-bred and fashionable.
My dear Emma, he is a spoilt puppy.
Emma and Harriet went to visit Miss Bates. Miss Bates began talking at once and did not stop.
I have had a long letter from Jane, my niece.
Jane Fairfax was an orphan. Her father had been killed in the war overseas, and her mother had died soon afterwards. Fortunately, she had been brought up by her father's friend, Colonel Campbell, and his wife. She was a companion for their daughter, who had just got married to Mr. Dixon, a rich young man. The Campbells lived in Weymouth, but Mr. Dixon had taken his new bride to live in Ireland with him. As Jane had no wealth of her own, she now had to leave the Campbell family and find a job as a governess. But first, she would come to Highbury and stay with her aunt.
Jane will miss Mr. and Mrs. Dixon. Mr. Dixon once saved her from drowning, you know.
Emma's imagination began to work.
I wonder if Jane is in love with Mr. Dixon. Perhaps that is why she is coming here, to escape a broken heart.
Emma had not seen Jane Fairfax for 2 years.
You envy her,
Mr. Knightley once said.
She is a really talented young woman.
Yes, Jane could play the piano, sing, and draw better than Emma. But also, she was cold and reserved. As soon as Jane arrived, Emma went to visit her. She liked her better. She was elegant, with more beauty in her face than Emma remembered. Her eyes were deep grey with dark eyelashes and eyebrows. Her skin was clear and delicate. She seemed ill.
Perhaps she is heartbroken for Mr. Dixon,
imagined Emma. Then Jane visited Hartfield with her aunt. Miss Bates talked without stopping about Jane's talents and her health. Then both Emma and Jane played the piano, but Jane was clearly more talented.
Did you meet Frank Churchill when you were in Weymouth?
Asked Emma.
Is he handsome?
Yes, I met him, but I hardly remember him.
She is so cold, so reserved,
thought Emma.
I don't like her after all. Harriet will continue to be my first friend.
Next day, Mr. Knightley called at Hartfield.
I was so pleased to see that you and Jane Fairfax were friends last night,
he said to Emma.
It was kind of you to let her play at the piano. She has no piano at Miss Bates's house.
At that moment, Miss Bates and Jane themselves entered. Miss Bates could not wait to give the latest news.
Mr. Elton is going to be married. He has met Miss Hawkins at Bath. She comes from a rich trading family. It is a very good match.
Poor Harriet,
thought Emma immediately.
Poor Mr. Elton. He is very young to get married,
said Mr. Woodhouse. Emma had to tell Harriet the news. Luckily, Harriet had just met Mr. Martin and his sister in the village shop. They had talked kindly to her. She did not care so much about Mr. Elton.
It was all my mistake,
thought Emma.
But Harriet is too good to be a farmer's wife. I must try to help her.